Blog Talk Radio.
What's happening, everybody? This is Wardell Potts Jr., and you tuned in to Solar Records Radio, and this is Throwback Thursday, and so we're going to have a great time today. today. Great conversation. And, you know, guys, we just want to say we appreciate you tuning in today. And may God bless you and bless you and just keep you good. Keep you good, right? So, listen, I want to get into this conversation with my brothers right now. Let's bring Greg and Phoenix in. Phoenix, Greg, are you guys there?
Hello, I'm here, guys. Next
year. All right, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. All right, so Greg picked this topic today. I just want the whole world to know, Greg. And so we're going to let Greg tell us what's going on with this topic, and so we can get into it, Phoenix and myself, and see how we could, you know, just chop it up with Greg on it. So what's up, Greg? Why don't you drop the bomb on this, brother?
Okay, so, I chose the topic today because it's really about, you know, how we make life. Sometimes we're not easy on ourselves, and we think that life should just happen, and we don't think we should put much effort into it. And one of the reasons why I feel so strongly about this topic in my...
Okay, Jack, can you tell us the name, the topic? Tell us the... Because everybody is not online. Some people just call in and listen. So can you tell us the topic?
Oh, yes. It's basically about do we let life happen or do we make life happen?
Okay,
Is life happening to us or are we making life happen? But basically, that's the topic. How much effort do we put into making life work for us is really the topic. Or do we just sit back and let life carry on?
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so what are your thoughts about that, Greg? What do you think about that?
Well, a few years ago, I was going through quite a bad time, a few rough times. And I was watching a documentary on television. It wasn't a documentary that particularly interested me, but I just happened to be watching it and had one of those light bulb moments. Now, I don't know whether or not you and Phoenix are familiar with a natural phenomenon called the salmon run.
The what?
Say that again?
The salmon run. You know salmon, the fish?
Oh, I know the fish.
The
salmon,
sounding
salmon.
Room, you're saying?
The
salmon run.
Like the fish, salmon. You know, salmon?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, yes. The salmon, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
But the salmon rule, I don't know.
There's a natural phenomenon called the salmon run, and the program was about the salmon run. So you'll understand what this means when I tell you. So gotcha. The salmon, who are spawned in rivers, mm-hmm. make their way out to the Atlantic Ocean, and they can stay there for 1 to 4 years. But nature sets in and they have to return to where they were born, where they were spawned. So these mm-hmm. salmon make their way against the ocean currents and
correct.
Against the currents of the rivers and the streams going mm-hmm. in the opposite direction because they have to get back to where they were spawned. So by the
yes.
time they reach the rivers and the streams, these salmon who are going against fast flowing currents to get where they need to go, they started to, well, they do, fling themselves in the air out of the water. And some of the waterfalls that they're flinging themselves against are about 10 feet high. Now, of course, fish have got no, they've got no legs, they've got no arms. And there was just a point in the documentary where the narrator was talking about this phenomenon. And we're watching these fish swim against these incredible currents, going the wrong way, basically. And the narrator basically said that that they fail time after time, but they never give up. And it was just those light bulb moments for me. And all these years later, when things get tough, I think about the sun.
Right.
And I think about the fact that aren't we all going against life's currents at some
yes.
point?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're going against the currents, yes.
Life is about going against the currents.
Yes.
And if the salmon can make it, well, so can I.
And so, but is that something, Greg, that you feel that you just going with life? Because that is a natural thing, right, that the salmons are doing, right? Is that something
yes.
that they just going with the flow? Or so do you believe?
Well, actually, they're going against the flow.
Against the flow.
That's what makes it interesting, yes.
Okay, so you're saying that, so that's the twist for me, because it seems like what you guys are both saying is that it's going against the flow we're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, okay, why do you say it's going against it?
Well, because they're going against, you know, that much I didn't know. I didn't understand the technical nomenclature that you mentioned originally, but I love salmon, and I'm quite aware that salmon swim against the current. And they're a very beefy, meaty fish, kind of in the tuna vein. They're not an easy fish to catch. But I love the connection that he made there, is that, you know, they don't give up, even though they're going against all odds. And it's a tremendous, you know, there are a lot of things in nature that teach us, you know, what we should do, supposedly as superior humans. You know, we like to think of ourselves a little more sophisticated than fish, but the fish knows to go, not only to return back to whence he came and to go against the current, but then to not give up against
yes.
all odds.
That's
tremendous. I love that.
Yes.
Okay. And so do you either one of you, do you look at that as that's the way that nature planned it, and so that's going the way nature planned it, and not necessarily that they decided to do this, but that's the way that it was planned. Do you look at it that way, or is it just me?
Well, for me, that's a whole nother radio show, nature. You know, as a spiritual man, I don't look at it necessarily from that vantage point. I believe that we all have choices. And so it's not something necessarily perfunctually that it does, but it's innate in the DNA of the fish.
Yeah, well
to know.
Human beings have choices. Human beings have choices, not animals. Animals go by, they just go by the way that nature set it up for them to go by, the way that God planned it. God is in control of nature.
But whether or not you're a salmon or whether or not you're a human, doesn't life come with for and against currents? It's just that's also a part of life. But you see, the difference between animals and us, in my opinion,
mm-hmm.
is that life can seem hard to us as humans because we deal with our lives and our problems by reflecting on those things based on emotions and not logic. Now, when the salmon is swimming upstream, I'm sure, it's never been proven, the salmon aren't dealing with those obstacles and problems depending on how they feel about it emotionally. It's the logic of just getting back. That's nature.
Right. I agree.
That's interesting. That's an interesting assertion, because I think sometimes, you know, we make a lot of blanket assumptions. Sometimes we can put ourselves in a godlike status. I like the way you explain that, because you left a room for an opening or expansion of the thought process. Because as currents hit you, it's ever evolving and ever changing. But yet the salmon knows enough to not give up. And I think their lives, without getting in all the specifics of nature and humans and such, there is a lesson learned for me. Yeah, I have an aha, what I call an aha moment, where you go, aha. It's like, wow, if the fish can do it, what's my excuse?
That's right. That's what I think too, yeah.
I agree with you both on that. I think it's amazing to watch them. It saddens me how they are being destroyed, you know, and I don't know if it's what the percentage is of them that actually make it back to spawn, because they're going back to to lay their eggs, right, to have babies.
Yeah.
And so I don't know what the average, you know, statistically is of them getting back there. But it breaks my heart when I watch those bears just like, this is a feast. This is feast time.
Yeah.
And they're, and you know, and,
well, they,
and
have
they are just
too now. Come on.
Yeah, every yeah, well, that's
too.
The
they,
way
they can't go to the hey, they can't go to the supermarket.
I know. And it's the funniest thing.
I am looking at the supermarket.
The funniest thing is that yeah. I have issues, man. I have really serious issues with that because I love creatures, and so, and I'm like, well, if God, if Jesus himself told was it Paul or Peter to throw the net on the other side of the boat to catch these fish so that we could eat, why do you got a problem with eating fish, Wardell? Or my problem is not eating the fish. My problem
well, you know,
is killing
borrow,
the fish.
Listen, Wardell, to borrow on our last show, it's not all about you, my friend. I mean, I get the love thing.
No,
but
this is all about me.
Order
this, no, this is
soul.
All about me. This is just about my feelings. It's not about nobody else's
feelings. No, I get that.
Feelings.
No, I get that. No, you just set it up when you said, you know, if Jesus said to throw the net. So obviously he has the upper hand. He takes the wheel. We have to sometimes step back and watch the grander things occur and understand that it has a natural selection. I mean, the bare facts, pardon the pun, is that the bear has got to eat. And just like
absolutely.
We have to eat. And,
absolutely.
And there's certain things, like even the scripture says that we can eat, and there's certain things that we shouldn't eat. And some people, theologically, they get into discussions on whether or not we should eat pork because of the hoof and things like that. And that gets into a whole other area.
Right,
but,
right. That's what I want to ask Greg before.
I love what Greg's going. You know, not to lose track, I really, 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 really appreciate now what Greg is bringing to the table, because I think in the general sense, I think we're living in a time where we're all swimming against the currents. I mean, we're dealing with tremendous mind control. That's why even somebody recently said on the internet, I thought it was interesting. He said that's why it's called TV programming, because it's programmed to change your mind. And so we're swimming against the currents. We're constantly swimming against even on the news. There's no more news channels. Everything is editorialized. You know, we're no longer looking at the news and nothing but the news. We're inundated with opinions. And many times if we have a difference of opinion, we are proverbially swimming against the current. And my takeaway is, to all that being said, this fish does not give up. And so addressing the topic today, I'm not the type of person that sits on the bleachers and watch stuff happen. I believe we're all accountable. I believe that we bring something to the table. You know, if you find it within your heart and your hands to do it, do it. You know, you don't have to judge the next man because he doesn't do it. But if it's within your power to do it, do it. If you can contribute. Are we what?
I'm just asking Greg. I thought you were finished. I'm sorry. I was just asking Greg, are we on the topic still, Greg?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Why would you think not?
It's all about, you know, how do we go against the currents when it's actually not natural to us? But, you know, when you think that these fish throw themselves 10 feet in the air, and they're not birds, they're fish. So what that means to me, the way I look at me as an individual, as a human being, is think of your abilities as flexible rather than fixed. A fish isn't supposed to fly, but it does.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so can I share something and you let me know if this is kind of what we're talking about?
Okay.
All right. So in my situation, Phoenix may have experienced this as well. As a songwriter, I'm frustrated about some of my past in regards to my publishing that I never. That was taken from me, that I had no idea what I was giving up as a young man, I just was excited to do music, and I just signed stuff away. And so as I got older and realized that that was not the right thing to do, and I realized that the time was up for that, I started fighting for my publishing back, right? I'm fighting back now. But as I'm on this road of fighting back to get my publishing, I started getting so frustrated because it's so hard that I started having anxieties. And my wife would go, what's wrong? And I go, nothing. She says, well, yeah, you something's wrong. Talk about it. I said, I don't want to talk about it. I'm frustrated. And so, and this is like at 3 o'clock in the morning or something, I would wake up in cold sweats because I'm frustrated because I'm not able to get this to navigate the way that I thought it would. I thought it would go smoother, but it's very, very difficult and it's hard. So what I decided to do spiritually, I think God told me, let it go. Just let go, and if it's meant to be, it'll happen. But you're going to destroy yourself, and you won't be able to get to where you need to go. You won't be able to do what I need you to do if you're all consumed about something that you want so much. But you know, it's mine anyway. All your money is mine anyway, so don't worry about it. I took care of you up to this point, and I'll take care of you for the rest of the time. And so I let it go, and I feel much better, and so that I could focus on moving forward instead of being stuck in a rut. Does that compare to the salmon saying, wait a minute, I'm not going to go up there because I'm going to die? No, you can't focus on that. You got to keep going regardless. God's got your back. It's going to be okay. Is that kind of the same comparison?
Well, with your scenario there, once again, the difference between the salmon and us is that how you feel about that situation is exactly what I've just said. It's how you feel. It's how you have reacted. It's how you react to it emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
But the point being is that that situation that happened to you, Wardell. Obviously, you haven't let that situation is will always be there, but you haven't let that situation define you. It doesn't define you. So there's a saying that obstacles and opportunity might sit together in a sentence, but remember that opportunity is the bigger word. So what you did was you just took advantage of other opportunities. So you still rose above that situation because you took advantage of other opportunities that were available to you, or as the topic says, opportunities that you made happen.
Yeah. Right. Well,
and,
yeah.
If I could interject, you know, it says each day has its own sets of anxieties sufficient for each day. It's a scriptural understanding or law. And my takeaway on that is that no, you cannot become so submerged in your day-to-day activity and allow anxiety to overcome you. It was a little sketchy at first with the analogy with the salmon, because I think the salmon more directly is dealing with a different set of specifics or scenario, which is to go against the grain, and not only go against the grain, I thought Greg made a very interesting point. Salmon are not designed to fly. They don't have arms and legs, but they use whatever they have to get to where they're going.
Yeah.
And so in the general sense, the salmon is going to see past the adversity and get to his destination. To in your situation deals more with, as you said, anxiety. And God doesn't give us more than we can bear. And so, yes, it is, to me, appropriate to let a little air out of your tire at times and do what you can do, or like he mentioned, to be flexible, if you want to borrow the salmon concept, and deal with the adversity in that regard. That doesn't necessarily mean drop it all and let the other guy get away with murder. But you do what you can do, and then you move forward.
Right.
Because if you allow anxiety to take you on, then you're proverbially drowning.
It's not good. It is not good. Yeah. It's a terrible feeling. And so I like the salmon concept, because I believe that it shows, you know, what's the word that I'm looking for? Determination. It's like,
yeah.
I'm going to get it done.
I think the message to me shows that sometimes, because I'm quite a deep thinker, that I should. Sometimes it's better to face adversity with logic rather than emotion. Now, Harvard University research shows that last year alone, 20% of the population in the USA suffered from anxiety. And what I would say about that is that I think experiencing anxiety is fine, providing you allow the anxiety to live outside you and not inside you.
That's a whole other analogy right there.
You know, for anxiety to dissipate. And what's interesting, back to the salmon analogy, I think most people follow the next person. In the scripture, they talk about bulls coming in for slaughter. And if you've ever been to a slaughterhouse for bulls, the bull behind him is not paying attention, to use Wardell's expressions. The bull in front goes in, he gets cattle prodded, his head gets lopped off, and the next bull is right behind him to get his head lopped off. Now, what do I mean by that? I find that a lot of people today follow the next man. They don't go against the adversity to get to the designated course. They kind of go with the flow, and they say, let stuff happen, which is what I had read in your topic today. I think a lot of people, you know, the general consensus is, when in Rome, do what the Romans do. Hey, let it be, let it live, let it happen. I'm not from that school of thought. Maybe I'm old school, but each situation, I look at it, I'm able to ascertain if I can make a difference. Of course, I don't want to be overwhelmed with anxiety, but then I look at each situation and evaluate it individually and say, you know what? I'm going to pick and choose my fight. This is something that I'm not going to go with the winsome ways of the world. I'm not going to, if everybody says, well, hey, everybody is doing this, well, that's not for me. I got to do as the salmon and go against the stream. Now, it depends on what circle I'm in. I don't like to be controversial. I don't like drama. I'm not one of these persons that jump on a soapbox and I want to draw attention to myself. I don't want that. But if I have within my capability to effectuate a situation for a positive outcome, I'm all for it. Count me in. You know what I mean?
Greg?
Okay, well, I think that to achieve in life and to feel as though, well, put it this way, it's like, do I want to remain in a life that is comfortable and predictable? Because if that's the case, isn't that what life is like in a prison? So do I want my life to resemble a prison? I don't think so. And I think that in life, I think we need to, I think a lot of us do accept that we need to take risks. But the problem there is the fact that the word risk implies the possibility of something bad happening. So maybe we should change the implications of the word risk and maybe look at it as though it's maybe an opportunity for growth and adventure. And rather than use the word risk, I prefer to sort of use the word to dabble in life. And if you look at the word dabble, dabble equals dream, act, believe, balance, love, and enjoy. Dream comes first, and joy comes last. So the message is in the word.
Okay.
I like that. And you know what? I think there's something else worth underscoring about the bringing in, being incarcerated. Part of the mental debilitating process of incarceration is uniformity. They are forced or pigeonholed into wearing the same colors. They lose individuality. If they're wearing orange, everybody wears orange. and you're only differentiated by the last few numbers. You might be from cell block D, but your last two letters determine that you are you and not your current inmate. I think sometimes in the world, people are forced or pigeon-toed into uniformity, kind of blindly, like the blind leading the blind. And if you're not willing to dabble, as you mentioned, I like that, to change, to be accountable, to be responsible for change, then I think we're worse than the salmon. I think that we have taken away the human element of the human condition, and we're no longer functioning in the capacity that we are originally designed to be, which is intelligent creatures.
I think so too.
You agree?
Yeah. Absolutely.
So I love that. I love. Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say that there's another saying that I like, that I remind myself of when times get tough. And the saying is, don't run away from fear, dance with it. And I think that to actually dance with fear instead of run away from it, another saying that I sometimes remind, what we need to do sometimes is to, it's a good one. We need to, something else that someone said to me a long time ago, laugh in the face of adversity. And that's something else that I remind myself of.
Well, you know, Jesus, to use a spiritual directive, he said, when under tribulation, rejoice. So fear, yes, is a powerful motivator to cause people to swim with the flow. But if we dabble or take a chance and decide, well, you know what, this just doesn't make sense for me, I'm going to have to take this chance and go in the opposite direction and face my fears, is when one is able to achieve great things. Many people go with the status quo. Many people feel, well, you know, oh, you can't. I love it when people tell me, oh, you can't do that. I said, is that so? Now that you said I can't do that, I'm going to do my homework and really be prepared to do that thing, because that's what I want to do. And I'm not looking to be controversial, but my passion empowers me to take the lead and go, maybe perhaps like Star Trek said, where no man has gone before. To me, that's what the creative process is. I'm not going to necessarily do, like somebody I was speaking with earlier today, they said, oh, you know, these kids, and oh, you know, they're doing this kind of music, and oh, you got to compete with these kids. And I said, you know, I think you have the wrong perspective on that. I think let kids be kids. This is their generation, talking about my generation. But I have to be able to contribute. In order for me to contribute, I don't live in a vacuum, so I can borrow some of the things that they're doing. But I need to be authentically me, and I need to be able to forge on and create new possibilities that originates from my mindset, my choice, my mentality. And that's what's most fulfilling for me.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you said that, because that keeps it real. That keeps music strong. We have to be able to allow ourselves to create and not follow everybody else, because then it won't go anywhere. So,
the labels used to have so much control. Oh, you know, whoever was the new guy out, oh, we need music like this. It's like, wait a minute. Can I be me, though? You know, can I be me? And that's all I want to
be. That was,
I can't be anybody else.
That was the weakness of the A&R director at the time, because they didn't know how to tell you, or they weren't able to know when something was a hit unless it sounded like something that already proved itself to be a hit. So all they could say is, give me one of those, or give me something like, you know, that, or give me that. Like, and then that was the problem. That became the problem at the very end, when everybody started sounding the same, because people started giving in to that, because record companies continued to hire A&R people that didn't really know music, but maybe they were, you know, you know, so they knew a person that knew a person and they got into this position, but they didn't know how to break it down. They didn't know how to develop an artist from the beginning, from the floor up. Right. So they just said, give me that. And everyone started sounding the same. And then it became a producer's world. And then when the producer was producing these artists, they all sound the same. The artists had no identification at all, because it was all about the producers. And that's you know, it's great to have great producers, but you need to allow artists to have some kind of, you know, identity. And they were losing their identity because of that, because of what you just said, Phoenix. But I'm glad you stood right up and said what you said. Hey, I got to be a part of this, you know. So, but anyway,
according to today's topic, I thought it connected to that, because in the end of the day, back to the topic, I think that we all face adversities. We all face fears. Nobody wants to stand out. I know young people face what's called peer pressure because they feel, I have to do what all the cool kids are doing. But sometimes you have to face your fears. You have to go against the grain. You have to be willing to get back to home, which is what you're most comfortable in. To spawn in a spiritual sense is to get back to the identity of who you are. And I think today's topic empowers us, if we are perceptive, to understand if the salmon can do it, so can I.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. In closing, Greg, is there anything you'd like to say?
Well, I love sayings and anecdotes, and they really inspire me. And one of the things that another thing I always say to myself too is that there's a saying, if you fail to prepare, you prepare to fail. And one question I'd like to ask both of you is that if we basically live between 70 and 80 years, why are we better at planning our vacations than we are at planning our lives? Because
Phoenix,
we don't plan.
So if we, what
that's
was the
first... That's an interesting assertion. Maybe that could be the next topic of discussion.
Yeah.
A new word has evolved, not a vacation, but a staycation,
yes,
which implies I'm living, you know, in a previous relationship, I would go out to dinner, and everything this individual wanted to take a picture of what we were living in the moment. And then the girlfriends would reconnect. Oh, and what kind of fish is that? And oh, what's the restaurant? Well, I said, well, wait. Can we live in the moment? Can we enjoy beyond the selfie? Can we be in the stay, in the here and in the now? And it's a little off topic, but I thought maybe it kind of relates to what you said. At least it struck a chord in me that should we be planning our lives as opposed to a vacation that's only going to last a week or two, and then we're back in the same rut and we feel disqualified by the fact that we were just at a fool's paradise, but now back to life, back to reality.
All right. Now, Greg, can you ask me that question again but differently?
Oh, I'm sorry, what question did I ask you?
What Phoenix just answered about the vacation.
Oh, yes. So if we're going to live between 70 and 80 years, that's how long we're going to be on this planet. Why are we so much better at planning our vacations than we are at planning our lives? Because we don't plan enough. We don't look ahead enough. But we plan a vacation in an inch of its life.
Mm-hmm. I don't know the answer to that question. I don't know why that is, but I know that vacations are things we look forward to, and life is something we just think just happens. It's just happening,
yeah.
Right? But we need to.
But we should look forward to life.
Right. Right.
Well,
just like
we are victims of marketing. If we even go back to biblical times. You know, most of our holidays are based on marketing. They're not based on anything else but marketing. You know, they were merchants, and that was the way they handled media. And people, back to the salmon issue, They're going in this direction of the stream, which the marketing people predict and direct. And most people are not willing to go in the opposite direction.
Well,
and so it's a little...
The vacation thing for you know, the thing that happens to me when you mention the word vacation, it stimulates. You know, I could feel it. I could feel, oh, wow, we get to get away from the norm. We get to do something else. It's exciting to do something other than the norm. And so a lot of attention gets placed on that vacation as opposed to
I get that, but I think what Greg, but I get that.
That's what I'm asking, Greg. Right,
it's a little different.
So,
it's a little different. What he's saying is planning. He's saying 70, which is around 80 years we live, in a general sense, 70. But if we can plan on a vacation, could we do better at planning on our lives?
Yeah.
I get the getaway. I love the getaway.
Yeah, we could do
Everyone
better,
loves the getaway.
We could do better, and we should do better.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, it depends on your tangent or your angle with that. Of course, we could go off the deep blue end about vacations. I mean, I'm sure
but
you'll
do
get
you
varied
think,
degrees.
Do you
of,
think, Greg, that people put more attention on vacations than they do in planning their lives? Is that why you asked that question?
That's quite natural because it's pleasurable. But if maybe if we were to plan our futures with a little bit more effort, maybe we could have more vacations.
That's true, right? That's right. That's true. That's a good
and
one. Right
I think part of the pressure too is that in this day and age, I think with social media, the pressure is not just to be successful, but to actually make it look effortless. But my attitude that is, hell, if I'm going to be successful, I want the world to know how I've done it. I want you to know the work I've put into it. And if we share with each other the amount of work we've put into something, then wouldn't we learn from each other better? And wouldn't we know that we're all salmon swimming against the currents? That good things don't just happen to lucky people. They happen to people that put the effort in and to work hard.
But the problem is people are selfish. People are selfish.
You have to plant the seed. Yes, I agree with that. You have to plant the seed and you have to nurture it in order for it to grow.
Yes.
There are many even spiritual things that talk about the seed being planted, Apollo watering it, but only God can make it grow. So, yes, I agree with that. I think that we are generally selfish. I had an experience recently where someone had me to get on Skype. They wanted me to get on Skype, and I jumped through hoops of fire to get my phone on Skype, and I put the code in, and then I'm waiting half the night for them to respond. I'm like, this is baloney. Whatever happened to picking up the phone and just giving me a call? You're not somewhere in Oshkosh. You're in the continental USA. Imagine that. You're in the same state. But because people have selfish inclinations, because people would rather text and say, hey, bop, 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 and then they walk away and they hang out with their girlfriends or whatever, and then at the end of the night when it's convenient for them, they continue the conversation. And I said, maybe it's because I'm an older guy, but I don't like that kind of jazz. If I ask a question or you're engaging me in discussion, then at least be respectful enough to continue the conversation. And if you're going to make a diversion, hey, you know what, something came up, just could you say that, hey, look, something came up, can I get back to you tomorrow? No, they just completely left after they set up the Skype. And I said, what is wrong with this world? You know, this is this the norm?
Happened
to communication and respect? I don't get that. If you text me and if it's with at all possible, I'm going to return that text. That doesn't say that sometimes things happen. But I just think that we're moving in the stream of time back to the salmon where people follow the typical currents. They don't go against the current. Somebody needs to wave their hand and say, hey, wait a minute. This is not cool. I can see if you're an attorney and you're in the middle of a court case and the judge doesn't want, of course, you talking, and you text one of your colleagues on the other side, could you bring this document? But you live around the corner, or we're in the same house, and you're texting me? Wow. What is wrong with this? You know, I don't know.
I had to deal with that with my children, so they will be right next to me texting me. So it don't get no worse than that. I mean, literally right next to me and texting me. I almost jumped out of my skin.
That's the worst.
You got to be kidding me. Yeah, so, but anyway, all right, guys. Well, thank you, Greg, for this topic. And we appreciate that very much. And thanks to Phoenix for, you know, enjoying the topic. You can see how much Phoenix enjoyed that topic. Greg, you have to do
yeah,
that again.
I mean, I love logic. I love when things, the pieces of the puzzle, come together. I too am a thinker. I love to think about things and evaluate it. And obviously, Greg does as well. And bringing that to the fore is something that he's obviously contemplated. And it's not just an arbitrary thought, but
Greg
one that is designed to one that is designed to stimulate thought. And at the end of the day, that's all we need to do is think about things sometimes.
Think
that's
you better think.
Oh, don't think.
Yes.
You're trying to do with me. Think. You know you like my singing. Anyway,
no.
Guys, all right, it's time to throw it back. I'm getting ready to go to some old school music. Man, oh, man. And this is going back in the 60s, 50s, 60s, 70s. I'm way early here. I love that old music. It's just something about it that blesses my spirit and some of my listeners. So, and then later today at 8 p.m., Don Fleming will be on with his throwback show. And then at 11 p.m., Goldie Back be on with his throwback show, even though he's passed away. But we still have his shows, and so we still play them. So that's 11 p.m. because Goldie Mac had a different thing. He was into old school funk. I mean, it was so funky. He's like, what this, where did you get that from? And so We'll have a good time. This is the triple threat today on Throwback Thursday, and we appreciate you guys tuning in. So Phoenix and Greg, much love, and thank you guys so much. Anything else you guys want to say before we get going?
Nice to finally meet you, Greg.
Yes, and great to meet you too, Phoenix. I've enjoyed
it. Oh, is this
tonight.
The first
Thank
time?
You.
This is the first time you guys talked?
First time. Yeah, first
oh,
time.
Oh, wow. All right, my bad. All right, well, anyway, guys, let's get rolling and keep the ball going. Thank you so much, guys. We'll see you guys
Bye-bye.
Later. Good night. Just
upon you, I'd never let you go.
And it's amazing, baby, how
we love each other so.
And we'll always be
always together.
We'll have our problems, but we'll face them with pride. Our love is protection, and we don't have to hide.
And a thousand nights I kiss away
the happy tears you cry.
And we'll always be
always together.
Just
days are mine.
you to have left them so very far behind.
Thank you.
Sweet it is. That's Archie Bell and the Drells. It's been a long time, right? Man, this is old school at its best here on Solar Records Radio. Thank you guys for tuning in. I'm going to take you back. We're going to have fun today. So I appreciate you guys hanging out with us. And it is all about the old school now for the rest, for the next 57 minutes. So just kick back, relax, and enjoy going down memory lane with Wardell Potts Jr. on Solar Records Radio. And I want to thank Phoenix for coming on and sharing his thoughts to Greg's topic today. Thanks, Greg, so much. We love you, brother. Appreciate you very, very much. Much love to all the people over in the UK. We appreciate all you guys and look forward to getting back over there. Man, I cannot wait because I'm going to just travel all around the UK, God willing. I'm excited to get over there and just, you know, I tell you, the last time when Dynasty was there and we performed, it was the best gig ever. I mean, because you guys know how to have a good time. They really do. And it was just wonderful. And I remember driving around this big, giant black taxi cab. And it was like, this is the biggest, it was like a big Rolls Royce. I'm like, look at this big old, this is a taxi? And it was just great. I mean, I had fun. The hotels, the people were so kind. And, you know, and just, you know, and when it came down to the show, everybody was just beautiful, just wanting to have a good time and enjoy one another. And so, you know, I can't wait to get back over there. I hope it's with Dynasty, but I don't care who it's with at this point. I just want to get over there, even if I have to fly over myself. Because I want to go and travel around in the UK and see all my friends that I talk to on Facebook all the time, you know. And so I'm looking forward to that. And Gayla as well, she's going to come with me. And so we're going to have a good time just traveling around. We'll probably go to Greg's and get our hair done. hey, Greg, I need a fade, bro. I need a fade, okay? You know, keep it real. You know how brothers like to fade, right? Oh, man. And you get to mess with Gayla's curly hair. Lord, what a nightmare for you, my brother. Sheesh. All that curly hair. Anyway, it's Throwback Thursday. Post your pictures in the show. I want to see your pictures. Come on, Greg, stop being stingy. I know you got a lot of them. So come on, guys, post your pictures. We appreciate you. What's up, Phil? How you doing, my brother? I hope you're dealing with Greg's mess okay. Anyway, he's not singing, I hope. Lord. All right, here we go on Solar Records Radio. We're going to show a little respect to each other. Do this. Come on. Give it to me. I know. Keep it rolling.
Hey, what's happening?
Can we do a duet, man? That would be awesome, I think.
We should, man. Let's get it. Let's get on the road, man.
We're going to have to do something. Let's get on the road. Oh, man. Oh, man. Anyway, man, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, man. Sorry I wasn't able to hang out with you guys on the first hour, but I was out and about. But I am here hanging out with you right now. So what you got for the people?
I'm really throwing it back, man. I'm enjoying being in the early 70s with the music. Just, you know, late 60s, early 70s. I'm just having a good time. Right there. And then I just kind of like, you know, a little later 70s, like you just heard Barry White, Practice What You Preach. Come on now. I'm telling
that
like
song
it.
Does something to me.
I know. Here I am, baby.
You know what, though? On a side note, I got to add this because Barry White was a funny brother, too. a lot of people don't know, Barry White was very funny. If you guys go to YouTube, right now, there is an audio of...
After the show.
What?
Go to YouTube after the show.
After the show. Okay. There is an audio of him doing a promo. He did a radio promo for, I think, some college in Dallas, Paul Quinn College. And he keeps flubbing. And all kind of expletives come out. It's hilarious, man.
Oh, my Lord. That's why, you know, I just got to say this, man. In general, it seems like a lot of, you know, people, as they get older, no matter how serious they were in the beginning of their career, they all become comedians. They all think they're comedians.
Man.
I mean, you know, look at Stevie Wonder. He thinks, man, you would think that was his gig, because he's always joking and you know, and just messing with people all the time. But, you know, that's kind of like, I think that's a, you know, like a lot of wisdom, too. You've been through so much in life, and you just like, man, I'm just comfortable right in my own skin, and I'm going to say what I want to say. and just have fun with it, you know. I like it when people can have fun and have a good time and not be always so serious and so critical of others, but just enjoying and living life and blessing. And sometimes, you know, there's a time and a place for everything, right? And so sometimes, you know, it's okay to bend a little bit, but, you know, let's try to enjoy as much as we can, because we, you know, you just never know, you know, when your time is up. And so, whoo, my goodness, I can't believe that is your
I know.
Name. I'm so sorry. I don't know where I came from. I think I slept good last night. I can't remember. I'm too old to remember that. Oh, man. But anyway, Don, so I told everybody about the triple threat today. And so we look forward to that. And also next week, Don is going to have a special guest on his show next Thursday. Y'all got to tune in.
Yeah, man, I can't wait.
So that's going to be good. And I really had a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun yesterday chopping it up with, who did we have on?
We had Jelly Bean Johnson, man.
Jelly Bean Johnson from The Time.
Yeah.
And that was fun. I mean, he's just really down to earth, brother, even though he's super tall like Don. I could never be with him and Don because I would be looking like an M if I'm in the middle. It's just wrong.
No, he's 6'5". I'm 6'3".
I'm not even in the sixes, so that's just stop talking right there. Jeez. So that's it. I have to bring my chair to hang out with you guys. So how's it going up here? That's all good. Yeah. And Jelly Bean wears boots. Yeah, I get to be 6'5 and wear boots too. Come on, man. Get out of here. He's adding insult to injury. Get out of here. But, you know, he's very fun. He likes to have a lot of fun, too. So much love to Jelly Bean. Thanks so much. And so we're going to keep this thing rolling.
But you know what, though? It was just hard. It's hard to compress, you know, his timeline or his biography in a 30-minute window or whatever, however long we was on. Because, you know, we were able to do it. And it was just he enjoyed it. We enjoyed it. We can't wait to have him back on the show.
Yes. Can't wait. Well, guys, we're going to get back to the music here. Don Fleming, Wardell Potts, thank you so much for tuning in. Don't forget, Don's show is at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time tonight. So tune in for his Throwback Thursday show. What do you call your show? Do you call it Throwback Thursday?
Yeah, it's just straight up just Throwback Thursday night.
Well, he's still Throwback Thursday night. He's Throwback Thursday night.
Yeah.
You hear that? He adds that night on it.
See, I like to call yours the afternoon drive.
Afternoon drive.
There you go.
Yeah, sometimes I am driving. Sometimes I am on the road.
And I'm doing it right now.
That's right. That's how we do it here at Solar. We can, you know, be on the road and doing the show simultaneously. So that's all good because you guys are more important. We just got to make sure we take care of you guys. So we're grateful that we get to come and do that. Anyway, So I want to get back to the music, Don. Anything else before we get going?
Oh, man, let's do it, man. I got a couple of songs I'm going to show you if you can play on this block, but it's all good, man. Let's get started.
Let's get the party started here on Soul Eye Records Radio. Thank you guys so much for tuning in and hanging out with us.
So.
Uh-oh, wait a minute. Don. What did you do, Don? He's not there. I got him on mute.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see, no, I won't be afraid. Oh, I won't be afraid, just as long as you stand by me. So darling, darling, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Stand by me. If the sky that we look upon should tumble and fall, or the mountain should crumble, just as long as you stand by me. And
All right, Don Fleming.
Gonna get this song to all the lovers tonight, and I expect that might be the whole world, because everybody needs something or someone to love. When it's cold outside, who are you holding? You know, y'all don't mind, I'd like to talk about this woman of mine. She's always complaining about me never being at home. But when I'm down broke, she's telling me about the things that my girlfriend's got and what she ain't got. And she want me to go out and get them for her. But girl, I can't be in two places at once. I'll be more, 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 more.
love you back. Just remember I made it a long back. And the skeletons come out of the closet and chase you all around your room. And the memories spell out like a ghost.
All right, all right. What's that, Don?
Yes,
are you
sir,
there?
Yes, sir.
Oh, man.
I am
man.
Here, sir. I'm here.
You are here, sir. You make me sound like an old man. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, Don, it ain't going to hurt nobody. You know what, Don? I found something else. That was by Brick. But, you know, I
Brick,
didn't know.
Yeah.
I didn't know Kid and Play did that song, too.
Yep, they sure did. They remade it.
Yeah, they sure
well,
did.
They put their own twist to it. Yeah, they put
how
their
was,
own twist to it.
How was it? How was it?
Good. It was good. That was arguably one of their top songs.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right, cool beans. Anyway, Don, did you make it back to the studio? No.
No, I'm still out and about.
You know why? Because you stopped to get something to eat. I know that's why. You don't have to tell me. I know you, Don.
Yeah, you got me on that. I have to admit, yeah, you got me.
Hey, Greg said two people, both of us, in one show singing. Oh, my God. He said, both of you in one show? Oh, did he got all these exclamation points with a sad face? I told him, I said, yes, we are ready to do a duet. We are on our way to the UK.
Yeah, definitely.
We're going to be performing over there. He said, Australia might be better. Oh, my God. He is so mean. Yeah, Australia might be a better choice. We won't hear you from here. From there. We won't hear you from there. He's in that case. He's evil. But anyway, I think we could do it, Don. I think we could put it down. I don't. We can't. You know what, Don? If you listen to what everybody says, they always try to encourage you not to do something. You'll never get anything done. You just got to follow your
know.
Heart.
I know. I know.
Just follow your heart and do your thing. Hey, what was that artist that you told me about? You said you wanted to hear something from. It was another artist you mentioned earlier.
Oh, the group Change, man. You know, I'm a big Change fan. And I loved, you know, a lot of that stuff that was coming, you know, after the Glow of Love, after Luther had left. You know, Change had some great cuts, you know, after Luther left. So, man, I was a big fan. Big fan.
Right.
Luther Vandross. Right. Of course, I'm talking about Luther Vandross.
Yeah. So tell us about that. So Change, were they the band for Luther?
Well, no, actually, it was Change had already been formed. Luther just sang, you know, like The Glow of Love and I think Love's Holiday from 1980. And then, of course, he went on and did his Never Too Much album like a year later. But Change had already been, it was kind of like real big in Italy, you know, those. So they had an album, if I'm not mistaken, Sharing Your Love in 1982. And then they had Change of Heart, the Change of Heart album from 1984, which brought in, you know, Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis did a couple of the songs on that album. So it's just, it was just a great album, man.
Okay. And so which song is it that you wanted to hear?
You Are My Melody. You know, I love that. That's one of my favorite Change songs.
All right. Well, we're going to do what Don says to do, guys. Hey, Don, are you going to be in after this? Are you going to be able to take over the block?
We're almost out of time.
Oh man, I'm thinking we got another half an hour, man. That's 13, not 30. Come on, Wardell. All right, well. Anyway, time flies when you're having fun, man. And my show earlier was supposed to be for a half an hour, but we went all the way to an hour. So that's probably what's happening. Anyway, I just want to say thanks to everybody for participating and making this happen today. Thanks, Greg, for the topic that we had today. And thanks, Phoenix, for hanging out. And always Don Fleming, as usual. And much love. And don't forget to tune in tonight for Don's show at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, yes, sir.
Go back Thursday night. It sounds like grown-up stuff. So tune in and hang out with Don Fleming. Much love to all you guys, and thanks for being the best part of Solar Records Radio. Good night. God bless.
Later, Don.
Guys, we love you. Thank you so much for tuning in to Soul Art Records Radio today. God bless. Take care. Have a blessed rest of your evening, afternoon, wherever you may be on the globe. And we thank you so much again. This is Wardell Pice Jr. We're out of here. Later. Good night. Enjoy the rest.